I actually say, oh, what's your message today, Brother Randy? Work surveys through Philippians is really what I'm trying to get to. The surveys through Philippians was a unique church that had a very, very strong, very, very strong connection with the Apostle Paul. And for a couple of weeks now, of course, I've been meditating on it and trying to say and define what is it in this connection? What is unique about it? He doesn't come to them like he does in his letters to the church in Corinth or in the church in Galatia. He doesn't come to them with corrections and doctrine and bad behavior and a man having his father's wife and, you know, these things that happen in the church that needed to be addressed. He doesn't come to them like that. And so as I was praying about that, I thought it was another message coming to me, and the word was connections. And as I began to dwell on that thought, that word, Apostle Dale had brought up, well, 42 years we've been here. That's exciting. That's exciting. And so this morning we were just talking before we began to practice and worship together. We were just talking about, well, what was my connection? Because you all have a connection. You might not have ever shared it with me, but, and some of you have, you know, and I know a little bit about some of it, but that's not the important part. The important part is there is a connection. There has been a connection, you know, with our brother Bill Hake and this church, Abundant Life Center. There is a connection. And so there's a parallel that I want to see here. I didn't want to emphasize that so much. I didn't want to, like, give that away like there's some kind of undertone of what I'm preaching that says, oh, well, he's talking about Pastor Bill and Abundant Life Center. What I'm talking about is connections and how people connect together for a greater purpose, a greater good, a greater vision, things that need to be done. And so as I go through this, you know, and I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, I'm even going to get to Philippians today. But, you know, we do that. And so the story will continue the next time the Lord gives me a privilege to preach. But if we look in the book of Acts, and I'm not going to, like, we're not studying the book of Acts. But we did this when we looked at Peter because, again, at the last moment, right before I came up to preach and turn my mic on, the Lord changed my mind about that in a way. He said, well, which Peter are you going to preach about? If I say Peter, all of a sudden all your thoughts and memories will be the Peter that you know from Scripture. So it was necessary to get on the same plane and look at Peter and what kind of man he was. And so, yeah, we did go a little bit. And his name will even pop up as we go through here. And it's not for the same reason I'm talking about Paul as I go through the book of Acts. It's more the line of how he made the connection and found his way to this great city called Philippi up in Macedonia. So we see here in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And now, like I said, I'm just scrolling through. I'm setting the timeline as we march through here, marching our way to Philippi, or in this case, since Philippi was coastal, we took a ship and we got there because we couldn't walk there. Anyway, Stephen was one of the seven, if you remember, in the previous chapter. Stephen was one of the seven that they chose in chapter 6. And in chapter 7, he preaches this message and there's signs and wonders. And there was an offense because of him. And he begins to give this huge oratory of the history of the Hebrews. How they came out, how God delivered them. And he really lays it down on a line. And then at the end of it all, he proclaims Jesus as being the Messiah and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he gets stoned to death and he is a martyr. So then we move over to chapter 8. As timeline's moving, Saul is in hearty agreement of this. So here's our introduction. We didn't know who this guy was, but in the beginning, obviously, he's not connected to the church, but he is connected to something. And we were connected with something before we were here. Maybe you were connected with the world. Maybe you were connected. Well, in my case, I was connected to another church. But at some point in time, you know, in my spirit, something was happening that was agitating. And I knew it wasn't right. So God doesn't leave you in agitation. If you continue to seek the Lord in any matter of your life, he will relieve you of that instigation, the thing that's stirring on the inside of you, and maybe you can't like put your finger on it and define it. And this is what we go through sometimes in life. We get agitated on something like, I just don't know what that is. I can't put my finger on that. And pretty soon it becomes really clear, and you know you have to pack it up and move. And so, and that is what happened, you know, for me, for my family. At one time, I was so connected to where I was before. I was sharing this, my wife is here, so she remembers. I'm not sure that it's a good thing that she remembers, but a good thing about it, about the circumstance. But I was so connected with the ministry and the minister that I was with at one time. All my boxes in my house of all my stuff was all packed up and taped up and stacked up along this one wall. I had a big, long wall, a stack of boxes, because we were moving. We were going to go to Texas, to Dallas, Texas. And I was going to go down with the ministry. And then certain circumstances happened that I was agitated inside, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it by. And by fasting and prayer, the Lord told me, you're not going anywhere. Then we had to unbox everything, right? Deb had to unbox everything, put it all away. And now I'm still not settled, even though I'm rooted and grounded where I was. Something wasn't right. And I didn't know what it was. I never know what it. You don't know what it was. At the end of that story and everything, Brother Jared, you know, I met Pastor Bill. I knew who he was. He had just been getting started in ministry. I knew him a couple years before that. He's told you these stories. He'd come to church with jeans on, clodhoppers. I'm not even saying they were clean clodhoppers. I'm just saying, you know, and he'd make fun of it himself. You know, flannel shirt, hair down to here. You know, this was, you might not picture him that way, but he was just a young man, you know, and he was finding his way. He was hungry for the Lord, and he was in the Word. I'm not even sure he was married yet when I first met him, you see. But at some point in time, he was on his own journey with the Lord, just like you were and just like I was. And I'm talking about making a connection. He's on his journey, which I'm trying to get to Philippians and begin to read Philippians. But the Word of the Lord came to me even stronger this morning when I had got up. And I started reading this, and the Spirit of God is telling me, what about the connection? Because that is important. If you want to show how the Philippian church and how the impact that the Apostle Paul had in Macedonia on the Philippian church, then the connections are important. So make sure you're emphasizing that. This is the connection that he made with this church. But he also made connections with all of us, and we're all sitting here today. Well, most of us are. Some of us are. You know, the ones that are hungry for the Word are here. And so that's good, because God doesn't see empty seats. He sees your heart. He's not looking at that. He judges that, the heart of people that are here to hear the Word of God. So moving on, you know, we become dissatisfied, and maybe you became dissatisfied in a situation that you were in, and you found yourself connected. And I'm connected here. So we go along here, and here's this introduction to the Apostle Paul. Maybe I'll get back to some of that story later. But the Apostle Paul, so he's moving forward. And the Apostle Paul, who is Saul at the time, he likes this idea that they beat Stephen up and they stoned him to death. He's thinking he's serving God. He's connected with whatever he's connected with. So There's a persecution, a great persecution. Philip packs up his bags and he heads to Samaria. This is how it goes into chapter 8. He's going down there and he's not fazed by this, really. He's just moving. Just get away from the trouble. But I got to keep preaching Jesus. I got to keep sharing what God has put on the inside of me, because he was connected to the church. So he went about doing what Philip does. He began to preach and teach the word. Healings were happening as we go down through here. And when the joy was in the city when Jesus was preached and the healings were happening. Joy was great. Joy was in Samaria where he went down. And it says in 14 here, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. So this was a very common practice. Don't let that idea escape you. That when the word of God is preached somewhere and there's a church established, the leadership was sending people there to teach and preach the word of God. That was a constant, even though you don't see it every time in Scripture. It was a common practice. This is what you do. When people are born again and there's a place established, the word of God needs to continue to come and encourage the people. So that's what was happening as we go down through here. We see Philip being introduced to this Ethiopian. He runs up to the carriage. You know that story. This isn't about that story. This is about a connection. The Ethiopian made a connection with the words of Isaiah. And Philip preached and defined. Who's he talking about? Philip, who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about Jesus. And this happened. Well, can I get baptized? You sure can. There's a body of water right there. You see, these things make connections with people. Now, Paul was still threatening murder against the disciples in chapter 9, how it opens up. He went to the high priest. He got letters. You know all that story. So as it was going down through here, he gets knocked off his horse. You know that story. All of a sudden, his eyes are blind. And another man comes up to him and leads him by the way and prays for him. God has an interest in the Apostle Paul. He's one of the characters of this preaching and teaching in Philippi. He's the one that introduces who Jesus is in Philippi. One of the things in the Bible school that we're talking about is, you know, we Twitter and we tweet and we Facebook and we get on airplanes and we get in cars and we drive and everything moves really fast in our day. But things in this day moved a little slower, but some people think it didn't move at all. But in fact, it does move. Word about this and word about that constantly moved amongst the trade and the people that were disjointed from the various cities. You have to kind of keep that in the back of your mind, because when people were coming to visit Jerusalem, Judea, they heard stories. And what do people do? We tell stories that we heard. Did you hear about that? This guy, it's like me and my business partner went down to this area and he fell ill and someone laid his hands on him and he got healed in the name of Jesus. Who was this Jesus guy? See, these stories were being told about him. And the reason why I'm saying, well, how do I know that's true? As we get down farther and we start looking at Philippi, people rise up and they say, these are the guys that the word and the message that they brought, they're upsetting the world. Stories have gone out. Stories are going out. And so Paul falls down. Oh, and then he gets the eyes, scales fall off. He gets encouraged. And it says verse 18 of chapter 9, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight. He got up and was baptized. He followed the precedent of what we say Christianity. What would she do? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And he took food and he was strengthened. Tells me he was fasting, or he wasn't hungry at all because of this agitation that he was dealing with. So he begins right away to, some people think, now I'm not removing this scripture and not taking this out of context, Some people think that Paul just ran away to Arabia just because of one verse in the Bible. They see this, that he went to the desert as soon as he was saved. I know he spent time there. Okay, but before that, let's look at the line of the scripture. It says, now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. Right after he was saved, he began to preach Jesus. He had a knowledge and an understanding. And while he was waiting on his healing to come and his eyes to be opened, he had an understanding of who the Messiah was because he understood the law. He understood Psalms. He understood the prophets. He didn't know, he didn't connect all the dots right away at the snap of a finger because Paul was a man of the word. And we know that about him. He's the Son of God. He began to proclaim. All those hearing him continued to be amazed. They were saying, isn't this the guy that has letters in his pocket and he's going to go kill everybody? So they were afraid of him. Whoever called on the name of Jesus, they were afraid of him. So Paul kept increasing in strength, confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. They thought he was connected to them, but he changed his connection. I changed my connection from where I was. My leadership booked out. And then I wasn't sure what was going on, to be honest with you. So I asked the Lord for clarity. And by fasting and prayer, then that's just my story. I'm not saying there's a magic formula in it. At that time, I had to know, brother, what am I supposed to do? And so the Lord just made it very clear to you, if you stay here, you're still going to continue to grow because you're a person of the word and you're a person who's going to seek after the truth. But you're going to lose your family. Now, he didn't mean lose your family like you're going to get a divorce and your kids are going to run away. That wasn't what it was. It's just that we weren't going to grow together. We weren't going to grow up and together and be connected together and be part of our church. The school was starting. And I wanted my children to be part of a Christian school. See, it's all happening at the same time. For me, my story. That is my story. And so we started sending our kids to Grace Academy. And the transition from where I was to where I am now, my association with Pastor Bill at the time, fellowshipping with him, spending hours on the phone with him, fellowshipping with him, having breakfast with him and talking to him, I felt a connection. Strong connection that we believed the same way and we had and envisioned we were connecting together, and I understood there was stability in this house. There wasn't stability in a house that I was in. They were all confused about which way to go, and I don't want to say much about it because I'm not criticizing. That's not the point of the message, is to criticize or say, oh, they're getting off into false doctrine. They just didn't know where they wanted to go. And since they weren't going to listen to me, I was just a young man. They weren't going to listen to me. And that's fine. Whatever. The Lord moved me to another place where I could sit under the word and continue to grow. My family could continue to grow and increase. My children could go to a Christian school and be influenced by teachers who love Jesus. And I love that, you know. But here's this man preaching the word. And so here's what happened to him. Verse 24, but they plotted, the plot became known to Saul, this plot. This is the man that became connected with Philippi. So that they were watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. Armed guards at the gates to put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through the opening of a wall, lowering him in a large basket. He snuck out the back door because he didn't stand there and argue with him. It's time to flee. You say, when it's time to flee, it's time to go. Now, he writes about this later, his time here. He writes about how he was lowered in the basket in another letter. That's not that important. It's just that you can follow his timeline now. When he came to Jerusalem, he left this place where he was at. He came to Jerusalem. So to say Paul was never in Jerusalem is not really that accurate, because he came to Jerusalem. This is what he did. And he was trying to associate and connect, okay, with the disciples, but they were all afraid. They didn't believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas, now here's another character. Now, why am I saying Barnabas? Because it's Barnabas that is joined together in the first missionary journey, but not when he goes to Philippi. But we will acknowledge Barnabas being connected. People connect themselves together and do great and mighty things for the Lord. You're not in it alone. You're not in this alone, brother. We're together. And it says, Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles. So he did meet the apostles early on. He didn't run away to Arabia and get lost in the desert. He did go to Arabia at some point in time, but not at this time. Behold the apostles, and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he talked to him, and how at Damascus he was speaking boldly the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking about boldly about the name of the Lord. He was connected. He was connected. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. Paul wasn't making a lot of friends and influencing people, not in a good way. But I believe he was in a good way. People who had ears to hear would listen to him, right? But when the brethren learned of up, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. He's from Tarsus. Tarsus was a city of education and learning. Don't forget this line. Don't forget this sentence here in Scripture, because we're going to come back to it. Not here. We're going to revisit this Tarsus later in Scripture. So the church throughout all Galilee was, they were happy. They were rejoicing. They were growing, enjoying peace. So now the Scripture begins to change its look now, its focus on Peter. Not going to go into that necessarily too much. But Peter was in those regions. He's traveling around. Remember, there's a persecution, right? There's still people that are mad at the church just because they didn't have Paul as a leader anymore. That didn't mean it stopped. See? So we see this whole storyline with Peter as we go through this chapter. And in chapter 10, we see the Apostle Peter again in this chapter. And the sheet with the four corners comes down. And you remember that story. And as it moves through chapter 10, there's a lot of things that happen in Peter's life as he's traveling around. So Peter's in Caesarea. He goes up to Joppa. He's hanging there. This is when that vision happens to him. And the Gentiles, by his mouth, hear the word of the Lord because of Cornelius. And they're saved, and the household is saved. And things start happening in Caesarea. The church begins to happen there through his preaching and teaching. So now he's got to give an account. What are you doing preaching to Gentiles? This revelation and idea of the Gentiles being saved, it wasn't a popular thought. But it will be. In chapter 11, Peter's report at Jerusalem, he gets called on the carpet and down to the elders. He says, Peter, what are you doing? So he says, I just began to pray. I saw this vision. I went there, just what the Lord said would happen. And I was just preaching Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came down, and they were all baptized. Hallelujah. Began to speak in tongues, just like we did. Remember that upper room, guys? 10 years ago, we were in the upper room together, and the Holy Ghost came down and fell upon them. So the Gentiles now are making a connection with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're moving along as I began to speak. So verse 19 in chapter 11 says, So then those who were scattered because of the persecution of Stephen, said he's still mentioned it even a couple of chapters later. in connection with Stephen, made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word. Antioch, speaking the word. Remember the brother who came here to preach? He was from Turkey. Do you remember his name? So just escape my thoughts for the moment, but he's up in Antioch. This is like, say that again. Yes, Larry Mills. Larry? Brian. Larry. Larry Mills. Yes. Keep praying for Larry. He's in Turkey. This is right there in Turkey. They began to speak. And there were some of the men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. This is where I said, don't forget, we're coming back to Tarsus, okay? Large numbers who believed turned to the Lord, and the news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem. So what happens when news returns to Jerusalem? See, that wasn't just an isolated incident that I'm talking about. So they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. They sent a church leader, a man of respect, a man of renown, a man of the word, a man filled with the Spirit, sent them down there to see what's going on. Is this the real thing? You know, he wasn't going down like a spy. He was going down to encourage these people. And when he witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. These are some of the characteristics you're going to see. When we get to Philippi, which there's no church in Philippi yet, okay? It says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord, and he left for Tarsus to find Paul. They sent Paul down to Tarsus to get him away from all the trouble. It's like every place we take this guy, there's a mob scene starting, you know, and people want to kill him. But he's a really good teacher. He can really build up people in who Jesus was by going through the law, the prophets, the Psalms. You know, who is Jesus? You know, he knew, he understood. And so they brought him back to Antioch. Well, now we're connecting Antioch. We're connecting Barnabas. We're connecting Paul. We're connecting what's going to be called the first missionary journey here real soon. Back to Peter again in chapter 12. Peter's arrested. When it pleased the Jews, you know, Herod puts James to death, the brother of John. He's thrown into prison. The Apostle Dale brought this up last week. He's in prison. He's chained to two guards, two other guards, four squadrons of soldiers, you know. In rotation, there's four guys with him at all times. Two outside the door, two chained to him. The next watch comes along. They go home to their families. Two more get chained to him and two more outside the door. And it never stops. And the angel of the Lord comes in. His chains drop off. You know all that story. Because this isn't about Peter. This is about Philippians. But Philippians isn't a church yet. They haven't gone up there. No one's gone up there yet. But people are hearing about it in Philippi because people are traveling everywhere. No, they don't have internet. They don't have cell phones. But they do have travelers. They do have business people that are conducting business. And they tell stories everywhere they go. You can't, like, not know that. When Peter came to himself, he left there, knocked on the door, on the fence. And Rhoda comes out and is like, ah, Peter's angel. You know all that story, right? So then Peter was on the move again. Now, Herod exalts himself. Proud man. He exalts himself. He's going to be the king. He wants to be the king. And all these Hellenistic Jews are talking to him. And the political church peoples, the political spiritual people, the Hebrews, the political people were taken to his. He's like, this is Herod, this is getting a little out of control. You know, these guys, this is getting big, Herod. Are you seeing what's going on here? So he decides to take action. He puts James to death and he locks up Peter. And then he exalts himself. And the Lord touches him and now he's not around anymore. And it says in verse 25, and Paul, this is in chapter 12, in verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. Oh, I forgot about the part that's important. Certain prophets rose up and said, certainly there's going to be a famine in the land. So what do they do in this famine in the land? They give relief. Paul writes about this later. They give relief to the saints that are in Jerusalem. They take collections up for them, whether it's food and money or just money, finances to buy the food that they need there. And they sent it by the, here Barnabas, here Paul, John Mark's with them, go down to Jerusalem and relieve some of the burden that's down there. Relieve this burden. So they were sent away. So that's why this verse is relevant. Paul and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who's also called Mark. They went down there to relieve. He writes about it later. Now in chapter 13, and we're getting close, everybody. Now there were at Antioch in the church. Some of the spiritual move and the power came out of Antioch more so than Jerusalem at this particular time. The hotbed of the launching forth of ministry was going to move from Jerusalem, where there was a lot of persecution and difficulty to live, and it moved to Antioch. There were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, of Cyrene, and Manian, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. There's mentioned again. When they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them. Off they go. Hands were laid on them after fasting and prayer. Hands were laid on them. When they reached Salmis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper. John went along on the missionary journey. Doesn't say it, but Luke was along in this missionary journey because he wrote the story. So let's really realize that there's four people that are moving. Is there more? I don't know. Could be. Could be more. That just doesn't mention it to us. So they go through all these places. And it's verse 13 is notable, I think. Now Paul and his companions, so his companions, there was some with him, put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Sometimes you hear things about what happened to John Mark. Well, after everything that had been done and the persecution that they had faced in the very short part of their journey, I'm not going to say anything negative about John Mark. I'm just saying he left. He went back to Jerusalem. So that becomes significant as we move forward in Scripture. Because when they get ready to go on the second, and I see you shaking your head because you do understand, in the second journey, Barnabas didn't go along because he wanted to take John Mark. And said, and the Apostle Paul said, nah, I don't think that's a great idea because he abandoned us when we went out the first time. So I don't really know what happened. We don't really know what happened. He was connected, and now he's not. So as you go on down through here, John Mark left. There's a lot of preaching, healings, you know, eyes restored, whatever. Miracles were happening because there's a lot of problems in the land. Jesus is being preached. Jesus is being preached as we continue on in the history of this first missionary journey. People are being blessed hearing the word of the Lord. And opposition, 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 opposition against it. Paul and Barnabas scrape off the dust of their feet. They shake the dust off their robes and they leave and they say, we're going to the Gentiles. They'll hear the word. So, you know, you can go through the various cities and you can study the book of Acts. You can trace the little dots wherever they went. It's not really my story. Trying to say, where did this apostle Paul come from? What was his connection? How did he make his connection? And how is it going to be relevant to Philippi? That's kind of where I'm going with this. So in chapter 14, it's more of the same as he goes from town to town. And in verse 27, it says, when he arrived, they gathered the church together and they began to report all the things that was done through them, how they had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Well, they were returning. And so some men came down from Judea, chapter 15, began teaching the brethren, unless you're circumcised according to the law of Moses and the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. When we were talking in 1 Peter, and when we were talking in 2 Peter, when we were talking in the book of Jude, false teachers were going out. They weren't as connected as what we thought they were, but this council rose up, and that's what this chapter is about. A council rises up. Peter's there, James is there, Paul's there, Barnabas is there. This council's like, what are we going to do? What should we tell the disciples? How can we encourage the disciples to say, well, now I don't even know if I'm saved. I'm not circumcised. I don't know. Unsettling the souls of those who heard the word and believed by faith. So you also know that story. How often does our hearts become unsettled because someone comes with a wrong doctrine or a different thought or idea than what we have? We're unsettled with it. So we'll get questions like that in Bible school. Certain things will pop up that will be unsettling to us. God has an answer. He always has an answer in his word. So they wrote letters to them. They said, stay away from fornication, things sacrificed to idols, blood. Stay away from them things and you'll do well. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to the word of God and you do well. But these few things that we're going to give you. So they were greatly encouraged and they continued to go out. Signs and wonders continues to go forth. And this is all happening in James 15. So we get to chapter verse 36 of 15. It says, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, hey, Barnabas, let's return and visit the brother and let's take this good news and tell them about their salvation is based on faith in Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead. Let's go tell everybody because they were touching the lives of the Gentiles. Barnabas wanted John Mark to come along. And Paul kept insisting that they shouldn't take him. We shouldn't take him. He abandoned us. So he wasn't making that good connection there. He didn't think that their ministry would be profitable if they took somebody. For whatever reason. For whatever reason, Paul was unsettled about that thought and that idea. We join ourselves together with different associations and different things. And you know it. You can't put your finger on it, but you know it. It's better to hesitate in a situation like that and wait for the Lord to tell you what to do. Wait for the Lord to tell you what to do. He will tell you. So Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches, taking this letter, continuing to preach Jesus, taking this letter, moving forward. Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, chapter 16, and all the disciples there, he found Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer. Now, this is a mystery to me, I'll be honest with you. I always try to be very transparent because, you see, he does something here that I'm not sure why he did this. But he had a reason, and I could suppose his reason. Watch what he does here. His mother was a Jewish woman, Timothy's mom. And we know from the book of Timothy that his grandmother was a very godly woman. We know that by reading the book. But his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with them. Silas, Luke, Paul. Here's this other man, Timothy, who he found, young disciple. He wanted to disciple him. He wanted to pour into him. This is what we do. We pour in. So he took him and circumcised him. I don't really have an answer except the idea, the principle of, well, Timothy, young Timothy, if you want to be effective in ministry and you want to lay hold of certain things, you're going to have to be circumcised, because he had to be willing to get to have this done. So I don't really have the answers for that. I don't really understand completely. And the Lord will reveal it, maybe. Paul wanted this man to go with him. He circumcised him because of the Jews that were in them parts. I mean, it tells you like a reason. But still, I'm not sure that's always enough that satisfies you, you see. For they all knew that his father was a Greek, so they would speak evil of the work they were doing because they're taking along this man who wasn't circumcised. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees. Which decrees? The ones the apostles made, okay, as they were moving through. They were strengthening them. They were moving along. So, here they are. They put out to sea at Troas. That's Troy, the city of Troy, that great mystical city that Rome conquered with the Trojan horse and all that. That's Troas. That's this place. And we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the day following Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. So they took a boat. They ended up in Philippi, which was the leading city of the district. Now, the part that I shouldn't have left off was verse 1, because it's kind of important. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. So let me just back up a little bit. And the disciple there named Timothy, we looked at that. Paul wanted this man to go with him. Now, they passed through Phrygia, Galatia region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, verse 6, to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, and they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So they came up this way. They thought maybe we'll go this way, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them. And then the way this way was blocked, and they couldn't go that way either. So they waited on the Lord there. Paul saw a vision, verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So it was by vision that the Apostle Paul even made a move that direction by a vision of the Lord. Come help us. And when he seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God called us to preach the gospel there. It's to do the work. So putting out to sea from Troas, and we read all that. Here he comes to this place. We will pick it up here and begin to start where he meets the first convert. This is Eastern Europe. They have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. In Eastern Europe, where Macedonia is, where Philippi is. And then we're going to be introduced to some of the church members here who made a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, made a connection with the Apostle Paul that began to be so deep and just a heartbeat and a nurturing between the Apostle Paul and this church at Philippi. And it's a very wonderful book, and it will encourage us greatly to read the insights into where the Apostle Paul, as he wrote this letter from prison, he gets separated from them. And we'll look at some of those things. Interesting enough, we're going to meet this jailer. Remember when the walls of the prison were shaken, the foundations of the shaken, and all the doors opened up and the chains fell off of them? And he runs in with a light and probably had his sword with him. He thought everybody escaped. We'll get to the story next week. He hears Paul's in prison in Rome. Who knows better what a prison is like except the owner of a prison? So he sends help to Paul because he knows. He knows what it's like to be a prisoner. He owns one. So very interesting relationship, and we'll see that if I preach next week. If not, then whenever I preach next, we'll see it.